Camouflage is an adaptation of nature by which living creatures are able to blend in, thereby either allowing them to evade the notice of things that might want to eat them, or, in the case of things that might want to eat other critters, it allows them to close the gap in order to be able to do just that. It's one of nature's chief defense mechanisms, but it can go the other direction, too. It's no accident African lions are the color they are, and often hunt grasslands that look eerily the same as them. The word camouflage comes from a French word for disguise. A dictionary I have says it's concealment by means of disguise, through behavior or artifice designed to deceive or hide. When I still taught elementary school, we learned that most organisms are camouflaged in one of three ways: protective resemblance, protective coloration, or a combination of the two. Those terms are all probably pretty self-explanatory. Protective resemblance is when an organism is shaped like its surroundings, such as what you find with a walking stick. Protective coloration means that, from a color standpoint, organisms blend in with their surroundings. This can be through their color, patterns, or a combination of both. Well, people try to make use of camouflage too, which is a good thing, because standing in the open, in the skin we came into the world with, well, that doesn't do a whole lot to help us blend in. In fact, it can get you arrested. So, we have clothes that help us to get the job done. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. This has been a topic that has been on my mind of late because I have a trip coming up. I will be able to hunt on that trip. The hunter in me is wanting to wear camouflage, and I want to select something that matches the area that I'll be hunting. That said, where I will hunt, it's not uncommon for those who do hunt to simply do so in drab earth colors, rather than actual camouflage. So it's possible I'm overthinking this just a bit, something I sometimes do where my outdoor pursuits are concerned. And I'll tell you that while acknowledging that I do believe a lot of what gets marketed to hunters is largely for the benefit of the hunters, not actual success while hunting. I think more important factors involve how you hunt, such as keeping the wind in your favor and moving in a slow, deliberate fashion as you attempt to get close enough, knowing the animal's behaviors. I have seen snow-white house cats in very green environments have no trouble at all catching birds, precisely because they do pay attention to such things. The same holds true with people trying to get close to animals. Still, let's talk about camouflage today. Indulge me, it's on my mind. Some of you will be getting ready to waterfowl hunt and spring bear hunt in the coming weeks, so maybe it's on your mind as well. And if we're being honest, fall isn't that far off either. So, what about the types of camouflage people use? What works? What doesn't? There's a multitude of reasons to wear camo. Some folks wear it simply because they like how it looks. It's fashionable to them. I do that myself with some degree of regularity. Heck, I'm wearing a Predator Deception quarter-zip fleece top as I record this episode. So, as a matter of fashion, perhaps it's a color or pattern that they find appealing, and make no mistake, you can find any type of garment you'd care to put on in a camo pattern, and often in a dizzying array of patterns. To underscore that, you can buy everything from wedding dresses to lingerie in camo. I happen to have a spiffy-looking dress tie in Real Tree all-purpose green that I wear to church on occasion. So, for some people, it's very much a fashion thing. Others wear it because it's a matter of convenience. I've had friends that wear camo coats, not because they're all that big on camo, but because they got a smoking hot deal on a high-quality coat that just happened to be in a camo pattern. As reasons go, that's not a bad one, not if it puts you in quality clothing that will last a while. And then there are the more practical purposes. The military, for example, wears camo because it can very much be a matter of life and death. When somebody's shooting at you, blending in is definitely the way to go. Which brings me to the more specific gist of today's episode: blending in, but for the stated purposes of hunting. The range of hunting opinions about the necessity for camouflage is very diverse. I know some hunters who poo-poo the idea of needing any amount of camouflage at all, who have done quite well through the years in terms of harvesting animals. I would guess most hunters wear camo to some degree. Some go all out, and others put no effort into any kind of commercially available camo at all. Some of what I see from folks who come to Alaska to hunt, not only do they go all in on camo, but they go all in on some very expensive types of camo, too. Well, whatever floats your boat. Some of it comes down to what it is you plan to hunt. Different animals see in different ways, and even then we don't completely know how or what they see, and unless animals learn to talk, it's likely to stay that way. For example, it's thought that pigs, wild pigs specifically, have relatively poor eyesight, so perhaps being fully clad in camo isn't a big deal for hunting them. However, I would argue that if you don't suit up completely when turkey hunting, and I mean every part of you head to toe, you're putting yourself at a serious disadvantage. Turkeys have beyond words incredible eyesight. So your target animal can figure into it. Very much so. Perhaps the biggest thing to consider in deciding to use some form of camo is to select and use something that's going to break up your outline. In fact, a lot of hunters subscribe to the idea that the key to hunting is to break up your outline, minimize human scent, exercise caution in how you move, and try to use the wind to your advantage. Depending on your own opinion about camouflage and what you happen to be hunting, camouflage clothing may or may not contribute greatly to how you hunt and your eventual success. Breaking up your outline is for sure important, but it can be done in a number of ways. Chuck Adams, arguably the most successful bow hunter of all time, uses camo, but has also, through a lot of his career, used green plaid shirts. The checks of the plaid pattern, breaking up his outline in timbered settings, such as you see with elk hunting. It's certainly hard to argue against the effectiveness of his approach given his results. You can also use the terrain to break up your outline and mask your approach. Brush, trees, tall grasses, depressions in the land are all natural covers that allow you to blend in as you approach. If you plan to hunt from one location, a blind constructed of natural materials, or a commercially produced blind can completely hide you from whatever you happen to be hunting. Blinds can be incredibly helpful for things like waterfowl hunting. The point is that there are other camouflaging tactics beyond camo patterned clothing. But make no mistake, for a lot of folks, camo clothing is a big part of the equation. The oodles and oodles of patterns available today are something of a more recent occurrence on a larger scale. Into the 1970s, camouflage apparel available to hunters was limited to military surplus. Patterns such as woodland and tiger stripe were used and in some cases worked well. But if you're going to commit, it's helpful if what you wear does indeed to some degree match the terrain you happen to hunt. Hunting type camouflage clothing diverged from military offerings in the early 1980s thanks to a teacher and deer hunter from Virginia named Jim Crumley. Crumley used tiger stripe camo while hunting from tree stands. During a lowland hunting one day, it occurred to him that the horizontal green and black barrings of tiger stripe camo really didn't match the vertical, mostly gray barring found in the backdrop of a tree trunk. Through a good deal of experimentation with tie-dyeing and black markers, he developed a pattern designed to mimic bark, which he called, wait for it, tree bark. His tree bark pattern took off like a jet plane and sparked the modern camouflage clothing industry into being, an industry which has since seen dozens and dozens and dozens of camo clothing companies spring up, each touting their own versions of either general camo or habitat-specific camo. Camo companies come and go. Some have stuck, others have not. Some companies, such as Realtree and Mossy Oak, have grown into multi-million-dollar corporations that produce far more than just clothing. Other companies have lived and died, producing patterns and products that may have been very good that just never got the kind of traction needed to last. I know that some of my favorites fell by the wayside and are either hard to find or non-existent. A side note, thank goodness for eBay. New companies and patterns continue to pop up and probably will for as long as people hunt and need to be dressed to do so. So is camouflage really necessary? And if so, what types are the best? That, my good listeners, is for you to determine for yourselves. I will share with you my opinions, but keep in mind that they are only that, opinions. I tend to like to wear a lot of camo when I hunt. Does it really help? I believe it does. On that note, I'd also offer up that if you think things help, they probably do, at least psychologically, and that's no small thing in itself. For what I choose, I am fond of large open patterns. For a long while, my favorite was Predator camo, in either spring green, fall brown, or fall gray. It's getting harder to find the original pattern for this anymore. The company has tweaked their patterns through the years, and it's harder to find the original ones. I really liked the Outfitter pattern from Cabela's when Cabela's was still Cabela's, but even then the Outfitter pattern didn't last long. Oh, and as always, with any hunting clothing up here, wool, fleece, or other synthetics is the way to go. Stay away from cotton. That's something to keep in mind, even though warmer months are ahead of us. So, back to what got this started. What are my plans for my upcoming hunt? I've become something of a fan of a company called King's Camo. They have a few varieties. Their Desert Shadow version seems like a good fit for the area I'm traveling to, so I'm leaning in that direction. Frankly, I still haven't absolutely decided yet. Best of wishes to everyone on their spring hunting efforts to come. Perhaps I'll see you around. Or, depending on the effectiveness of your camo, maybe I won't. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.